Welcome aboard, you people, to Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, up for another day of broadcast insolence.
Before we get started here, Ro, can we just discuss the Apple store that's right here along Michigan Avenue, that's behind us here at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven?
Mm-hmm.
The new, supposedly most impressive Apple store yet. People who are fans of our Apple design say it's even better than the one in Shanghai, and that there's a new vision at the heart of our city, built right down into the river. It's so hard to see from Michigan Avenue, but apparently really impressive store.
Is it open yet?
Today's the grand opening.
Oh.
But can I just air some grievance that I had with the Apple store?
Did you go in yet?
Already?
No. I went to the original one on Michigan Avenue yesterday for a Genius Bar appointment to fix my my shattered screen.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they ran out of screens because they're moving. But why would you make me an appointment when you knew you didn't have any screens?
Oh my God, you're so right.
First world problems.
I know, first world problems.
But the cool
steroids.
Power through it.
I still have a
Rose strong.
My screen's still broken, by the way.
Now, is there like a cover that goes down over the store?
The top is made to look like the top of a laptop. So if you're in one of those buildings over the river, you can look down and see how beautiful it looks. Then the rest of it's glass.
But yesterday I saw it had words on it. It was covered.
Yeah, now they've taken those. Those are the words of a Chicago-based rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to be, I believe, is going to be the opening act of tomorrow night's grand opening celebration here. They're going to have a concert in Pioneer Square. Mm-hmm. Pioneer, whatever they call this?
Pioneer Court.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've only been here my whole life. What do I call this? There's going to be a barge on the river with a musical act going by.
Wow.
Because it's on the river. Because if you see, the thing is, from the river walk, and then from the south side of the river on Wacker Drive, you look at this thing and you can see the laptop top. And you don't have to be in a building necessarily to see it. You can see it
from across
the river
better.
And then you see the full frontage of this store on the river. And it is spectacular. I mean, when you see it, they took all there had been some stuff obscuring it. There had been some paneling around it to obscure it. And they've just opened all of that up. And it is...
It's spectacular.
It's going to win. You know, it's being submitted for a bunch of jury awards for international architecture competitions. Also for industrial design competition and for the, green building kind of things, whatever they do there. I mean, I don't know. I'm from Chicago. What do I care about it?
LEED certified?
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool, too, because the river reflects off the front of the glass.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that whole, side that's facing the river looks like the river.
You know, there's now, that has become, what had happened was, that has become a big architectural feature along the river. Many of the buildings, that started with that curved building originally, and that big green curved building at the turn of Wacker on the west side of the river as it heads into the South Branch. 30 years ago, whenever that building went up, that was the first one to reflect the river. Now you have these other buildings across the street from that, across the river from that, that now reflect the river. This reflects the river. It's really gorgeous. I mean, the whole Riverwalk concept. Other than the fact that it flooded out the other day, which I was told by the alderman yesterday that that's supposed to happen. That's the way that is designed
to
flood out when the river, because we had 6.2 inches of rain in like 3 hours on Saturday night. So the thing flooded. So the river broke its banks here and it flooded out, and it's designed to flood out and then go back out and just power wash it off.
Well, it's amazing. It's just another reason to go down and check the river out if you haven't been along the river.
Not when it's flooding. We're telling people not to go while the flood is up.
No, for those few hours, wrong time. But if you see the beautiful glass structure and the way it's set up built into the river, it's really something to see.
Really special addition to what's already a spectacular downtown. One of the great downtowns in the world. One of the great central business districts in terms of architecture.
Mm.
And this is, if you go all the way from, you can go all the way up the Lakeshore Drive to see really cool architecture, from the 1920s all the way to almost the 2020s, right? But you can go down in downtown. Now the river is just a spectacular walk. And if there are pictures and posters and stuff that they sell of what the river looked like, before 1970, essentially.
I mean, you never would have envisioned it even 10 years ago, going down there and enjoying your afternoon on a Saturday or something. No way. And now
I'm looking forward to the day when I can swim in that river.
I hope we all live for
that. It's going to happen.
It's supposed to, according to the EPA rules.
That's their goal.
You want to swim in the river? I can make it.
Maybe I want a tube or something.
Tubing.
No, I'm not. But that is their goal. They say mm-hmm. that one day it will. I mean, you know, you go to other areas of the U.S. and rivers are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
Rivers flow. You know, this is a problem with the river. Rivers are not really meant for the, you know, the fishing hole is what you need, or a swimming hole. You don't need, you got a lake. There's a big lake right
no,
next
right?
door.
No, I want the river.
No, right next door. You don't have to go to the river because the river has flow and it starts to move and you're moving.
Well,
and
plus it moves the wrong way too.
Yeah,
well,
I know, that's a bad idea.
And plus when rains, like the ones you were describing, it sometimes can wash some sewage
poo.
Into the area.
Just put a lot of poo water.
A problem.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe like, tubing.
Literally, you know, you know, floating turds. I mean, that's really what's
Could
going
happen.
On there. Yeah.
Oh,
what do they call that thing when, like, out in the Pacific Ocean, it's like a gigantic, like, garbage island?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they call
it's like that.
It's
like a plastic island. And it's just all this garbage
that's
assembled.
That's what happens in the river, except, like, with fecal balls. All right. Violetta has the WGN traffic trouble spots right now.
It's Kaner versus the Kid tonight as the reigning NHL MVP and the Oilers invade the UC. Blackhawks Oilers tonight at 7 on WGN TV.
Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN TV newsroom. Ben,
I'd like to premise this segment by saying I have absolutely no idea what's going on in the news today because I've been out shooting a story and just literally slid into this like it was home plate last night.
Yeah, head first? Did you
head
first?
Yes. Yeah. I'm injured out for the rest of the season.
Oh, ouch. What's the injury? Groin injury?
And then I went to play basketball, and my teammate punched me so hard that I'm out for several weeks with a concussion, and I'll need facial surgery, which is not good in my line of work.
No.
That's a rough
day. Isn't that something? I mean,
amazing.
Let's just stop and think about that for a second. You know, you have and I thought about this last night. I had the great pleasure of being at the game last night, and I was thinking to myself, mm-hmm. you know, I remember back in the 70s being a kid and watching baseball on television in October, and mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Reggie Jackson. I was watching Reggie Jackson as a New York Yankee, and you'd see all those people bundled up in Yankee Stadium, and you'd wonder, what must it be like to be watching baseball in a stadium in October?
I know it.
Right?
Yep.
And then I was there last night, and the Cubs won in dramatic fashion to stay alive. I mean, there's still one game at a time. They got to win tonight. They win tonight, and then whatever happens in L.A. happens in L.A. It's so much fun,
right?
You're
not the first person who's said that over the years, by the way.
Right, yes. That's correct. I've even said it.
Usually on the way home.
Yeah.
In a text message.
Yeah. But the point is that, without going there, Ben, the point is that we now, you know, you got the Cubs, Chicago's team, three times the NLCS, one world championship. I mean, it's like crazy right now, right? And then everything else is just falling right to poop, except, of course, for my beloved Blackhawks, which are still, last night they took it on the chin, but tonight they're going to get it all back at the United Center. And then you got the Bears in as bad a shape as I've ever seen that franchise. And the Bulls?
Well, the Bears are better than they were 2 weeks ago. Let's take this week by week.
I know, they may have bottomed out.
Like they were in intensive care in a coma. They've been resuscitated. The Bears are showing signs of life.
Yes.
Nobody's expecting him to, you know, climb a mountain, but he's not going to die on the table anymore.
No. And you have so much hope for the future, I think, is the other point now. It's just, it's exciting to watch this.
Well, I wouldn't get carried
away. But let's talk about the Bulls for a second. Let's go to the point here. The Bulls now have...
Oh, gosh. Implosion.
The most... It couldn't be worse. First of all, they got rid of anybody ever heard of.
It's like, if you have a name, you're out of here.
I just learned how to pronounce his name.
And this Mirotic guy, they sign him and go, oh, yeah, I remember him. He's the big guy with the beard. Okay, I know who that is.
Sure.
And the next thing you know, his own teammate takes him out in a practice.
What?
Have we heard any good reporting on what led to that fight?
No, it was just that they were, you know, they were playing against each other because that's the number one and number two.
Right, but it wasn't a scuffle.
Position.
It wasn't a hard hit. It was facial injuries.
He got punched in the face,
And in the need of surgery.
I know.
That sounds
serious.
Like more than one punch to me.
Well, it's been brewing between these two guys for the past few years, and it all escalated with a Portis haymaker to Mirotić's face. And it is, well, like 4 to 6 weeks for Mirotić, poured us out for 8 games to start the season. Just an absolute mess of a franchise.
Don't they have
to
move?
Top to bottom.
Don't they have to move Portis now?
I don't think they did.
And they'll get him.
Well, what do you mean by move him?
Trade him, move him, get him off the team?
I guess that's an option that could potentially happen. Mirotić, though, he's just a guy. He's just a body he's just a guy to fill out the roster. I mean, they're not going to win anything. I mean, it's just a 2-year deal for Mirotić, so I don't know. It's not like Mirotić is, you know, the face of the turnaround of this franchise or anything like that. So you cut both of them tomorrow, it wouldn't matter.
Kevin, when you get clocked by your teammate have to be out for a couple weeks, do you get, like, is that workman's comp? Is that disability? How does that work, like, from a business environment? I know if Sapelsa punched me in the face right now on the job,
he would receive a lifetime achievement award.
It might be warranted in that case.
Right. That's,
you know,
that's all
the
I'm
jury
say.
Might say not guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't see nothing. The jury don't go. I didn't see nothing.
But I'm going to get him for workman's comp. I'm going to get the company for hostile work environment. I'm telling you.
Well, it's definitely a hostile work environment with the Bulls right now. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Seriously, what do you do about that? I mean, even, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. That's the point you're telling
us. My point is, if it happened in any other workplace, neither of them would still be working there.
Good point. That's
a good point. Yeah, it's the life of a professional athlete, though. You can punch your fellow coworkers and still have a job.
All right. And you can, you know, yell at the guy making the calls in your office, as Joe Maddon has done twice now, and get booted out, but still be allowed to
work.
That
was a great moment last night.
Well, he was right.
It's the loudest.
And the umpire said he was right.
He was right, but Maddon should hold. Joe Maddon needs to be managing in these games, late in games. He should not be getting tossed out of NLCS games.
Well, yes, that's probably true, but it was a great moment, and it's the loudest. You were there, Kev.
Yeah,
the loudest I have ever heard that stadium.
You know, they probably shouldn't keep showing the replay on the video board.
That was great.
Oh, was everyone getting crazy?
And the way they were doing it was just really quick after another, and they just kept showing the replay, and the fans were going nuts.
It showed that the umpire was wrong, and it was a third strike call. Curtis Granderson, Chicago's very own, up to bat. He missed the ball completely. He claimed that he actually fouled the ball off,
tipped it,
and there was, and you could see clearly that it wasn't on the replay. And the umpires were standing out there, and Maddon, the reason Maddon was so mad, they were showing it on these gigantic screens, right, that the whole neighborhood's crazy about. And it was like, turn around and look!
I think there might have been some F-bombs or something coming out of his mouth.
In the TV coverage, what was great was in the foreground, you had the umps all conferring at home plate, and behind them was the replay over and over and over again on the Jumbotron, as the TV announcers are saying, now we need to remind the audience that
this is not reviewable by video.
They cannot look at the giant Jumbotron.
Right. And they were acting as though they were looking at some sort of religious icon. They couldn't make eye contact with it.
All right, look,
Ben,
scared.
We'll see you in the 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 tonight. I'm sorry, we got to run along here. We got Gretchen Carlson. Maybe she is the person who started all of this. She's going to be joining us coming up in just a few minutes. Whatever this is, I don't know, but you know what I mean by this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ben. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. But first, right now, we've got Judy Pilak standing by. WGN is 2 minutes away. It's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Gretchen Carlson is joining us right now. The Super Celebrity Hotline. And Gretchen, Gretchen Carlson needs little or no introduction, but I'm going to give it to her anyway, just so everybody's on the same page here. Of course, longtime anchor at the Fox News Channel. And prior to that, you could see her on a number of other television networks along the way throughout her storied career. And Gretchen is being credited now, I think, by a lot and I would count myself among them, is kind of the person that started this most recent chapter in calling out sexual harassment, sexual misconduct in the workplace. And this, you know, which has been going on, you know, there's this whole argument, you know, the Mad Men era, it was always like that, and it's gotten better over the years. And in some cases it has, and others it hasn't. And clearly at Fox News Channel, it certainly hadn't. And now she's written a book called Be Fierce, which is a story of hers and so many other women. And let's start, Gretchen, with the opening of your book, which is the introduction in which you talk you actually, you know, just type in some of the tweets that you saw in the aftermath of your situation at the Fox News Channel. And it is stunning. But I think to people who work in our business or people who or anybody on the Internet, this is the way people behave when they feel like they're anonymous or they're going after big targets and they want to make themselves famous.
Well, you attack the victim, right? And that's kind of what happened here. And you were very brave because you came out when very few people were speaking about it, and you were exposing a very powerful person as well.
So, there you have it. All right, what happened? Where's Gretchen?
I think one of the things...
That's quite a buildup right there.
I know. It's like we haven't heard from her during that entire buildup.
Like, Gretchen, are you there?
Strange.
I don't know what happened. Can we find out where Gretchen is, please? Can we do that?
As we find her, I think when the interesting things is at the time, it seemed like, well, maybe she was sort of on this island of people who either were willing to speak up against someone that powerful, and now with the Harvey Weinstein situation, 55 plus victims coming out and counting. You know, exposing another powerful person. People, you know, the Fox News Channel, you had Bill O'Reilly and you had Roger Ailes. And now you're kind of seeing the magnitude or the scope of it. People in the music industry are now coming out. People in gymnastics, like Kayla has mentioned about her own coach who would tend to her when she was injured and deal with things like that, potentially guilty of this. And
well, I think we had heard a story about that when she was in the Olympics, too, because this happened prior to her Olympic run.
Yeah.
Right? And it is such a moment of where this is all getting called out in a way that is like an avalanche, right? And I think there will probably be some people who get swept up in this who may not actually be guilty of it.
Sure, and you see that with the Me Too campaign on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people are posting it, and it's either they actually experienced it or they're feeling sympathy for someone who did experience it.
You saw Andrea Mitchell give a speech to Women in Broadcasting yesterday, and at the end she basically said, "Me too." She didn't really go into too much detail, but you're seeing that there's a little bit more, there's an ability, a strength in numbers, an ability to come forward and sort of call attention to this without wanting to give the details.
Gretchen Carlson, I think we have her back now. Gretchen,
oh, good.
Gretchen, do we have you?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
I heard your great introduction. Thank you so much. And then all of a sudden I heard nothing. So I'm here. We're being fierce about getting back on the line with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your fierceness. All right. Do you think that you are the beginning of this next conversation, of the new conversation?
Wow. You know, I hope that I've inspired all these other women to come forward. And I've always said that, you know, it's really risky for one woman to jump off the cliff by herself. And that's what I did 15 months ago. But one woman has a lot of power. But together, wow, we really can rock the world. And look where we are today. And I feel immensely proud if I had anything to do with all these other women being able to summon the courage to say, I want to be fierce too. And it's really been extraordinary to see the immense courage and the Me Toos. And I know I just heard you talk about even Andrea Mitchell from NBC News saying, you know, Me Too. And on the one hand, it's so sad that so many people have a story. But on the other hand, we're all transferring the shame from the victim to where it should be, which is on the harasser. And that is a cultural shift. And my book, Be Fierce, is a great guidebook to continue that national conversation, especially for our young people.
With the Harvey Weinstein situation, a lot of people said, well, how could people not have known 30 years, 55 plus victims and counting? I know there was even a former Fox News correspondent who has come out, and she has mentioned she was somebody who was harassed by Weinstein. Had you heard about it? Were you one of the people who kind of sort of knew through the grapevine of people talking?
Just only over recently when I knew that reporters were working on it because, you know, of course, what had happened to me. But, you know, I feel like once again we have the revelation that for 30 years a powerful man allegedly harassed women, abused them, and the companies and company that he was with enabled it and covered it up and shut up the victims. And, you know, that is outrageous and abhorrent. And trust me, it's not just the Weinstein Company. I mean, it's happening all across America. And it's not just Hollywood and TV where sexual harassment is an epidemic. What I found out after my story broke was all these women reached out to me. It's in every profession. And when people ask me, you know, how can I support you now in your mission of trying to empower more women to be fierce? I just want people to know that all the proceeds from my book go back to my fund, Gift of Courage, and that is empowering women and girls every day. So that's the first step, is passing along that gift of courage by giving my book to a person that needs it. We all need to be more fierce in our life, and that's the way that we can keep the conversation going.
Was it pervasive at Fox News Channel? Were there a number of women talking about with each other about what they were experiencing there? Because when you look at it from the outside, it certainly seems like there was this cascade of events, you know, from Roger Ailes down to Bill O'Reilly, that, you know, people were leaving. Bill Shine, some of the other executives there were also leaving. Seemed and I guess to their credit, you know, to some degree, you had the Murdoch family, Lachlan Murdoch specifically, coming in and going, we're going to change the culture here.
This isn't okay.
Was it obvious there?
Yeah, I can't comment on the tone of the corporation there or whatever it was, but I think that if people want to read my complaint, it's out there, it's public, it's online. Mm-hmm. That pretty much spells it out.
You've been in the business a long time, though. Let's broaden it out to the business. And
yeah,
you know, we've,
I mean, the business. Yeah, I mean, do I think it's an epidemic in the television business? I think it's an epidemic in every business. I didn't experience it at other places that I worked within the television industry. I do talk about a story in my very first job in Virginia, but I didn't really have any other stories for a long time. So, you know, I'm not going to call out and say that every place that I worked or every television station has an endemic problem. I do know, though, that we have an epidemic from waitresses to bankers to teachers. Yeah. You know, it's everywhere. To flight attendants, I can't tell you how many flight attendants I've seen over the last year,
right,
who have, you know, shake my hand and they say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a fear of losing your job if you out it. And I think there's a little more sense now that it might be okay to come forward. But, Gretchen, there's something mm-hmm. else you talk about, and you're a champion of educating people about. I know some very smart, respectful men who say, why don't you come out right away? Why don't you just say something at the time? And I know you mm-hmm. point out even sometimes employment contracts are signed and that there's a non-disclosure, you can't talk about it, or there's a mediation agreement that it won't be in a public trial, it'll be behind closed doors anyway.
Right. HR.
Then if you sign a settlement or accept a settlement, then you have absolutely no rights to talk about it. And I don't know if that's the situation you're in, other than, you know.
Yeah, that is the situation that I'm in. So as a society, we've decided to resolve sexual harassment cases in the way that you just laid out. And in all those examples, the women are silenced forever. And so we kind of fool ourselves in culture in 2017 that we've come so far. But really, have we? We're just not hearing about these cases because we're choosing to gag women and never be able to tell their stories. That's why I see so much bravery emanating from these women who are coming forward as of late, because some of them are breaking these confidentiality clauses, and others are feeling so buoyed from the thousands of other women telling their stories using the hashtag MeToo. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of people. And they're realizing that they're not alone. And that's what's crucial about this entire epidemic, is when you're experiencing it, you feel 100% alone. And that's why I want people to pick up my book, because it's so empowering to know that you're not. And it gives practical advice of what to do if you find yourself in this situation right now. And above everything else, it tells us how I believe we should be trying to raise our boys so that we can stop this epidemic and raise boys with gender equality and respecting women in their family, so that when they get into the workplace, they show their female colleagues the same amount of respect.
I want to ask you right before we let you go. I know we kind of got a late start here, but you do start the book with some of the comments from your Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Twitter has just become a very dangerous dark alley. Right. I mean, and now we see it. We see it in a lot of levels. Right. I mean, you see it at the very top level. You see it sometimes as a dangerous dark alley. Right.
Yeah.
It's an aggressive form of communication. And it is it has become that. It is no longer. It used to be kind of, you know, smart, funny, snarky people. I guess there still are to some degree, but it really has become very politicized and it's become very, very dark. And you know, there's people calling you a skank and people calling you a has-been and old and all kinds of gold digger, all these other things. And you put it all out there in the first page of your book. Right. Now, why do we have to pay attention, I guess, is the question, to what the faceless, sometimes nameless people on Twitter are saying? Why should we care?
No, we don't have to pay attention to them, but I wanted to call it out from the beginning to let people understand why women don't come forward. I mean, this is why they don't, because not only do you see it on Twitter, but that's how they're treated in the workplace many times. I mean, maybe they're not going to call him a skank to their face, but they're not going to believe him.
Yeah.
They're going to call him a liar behind closed doors. But here's the shift I've seen since the Weinstein story, and I think it's really important.
Okay.
Less trolls on Twitter coming after people who are coming forward. And what does that say to me? That says that the shame is being transferred to the right vehicle and that the trolls are going away because they're the ones now being shamed for being ignorant and not understanding how this whole thing fits together. And that says progress to me. And if Beef Fierce had anything to do with that, then I am eternally grateful that I have been able to pass along this courage to other women. And I hope that you will pass along courage by giving people this book.
All right. Gretchen, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Beef Fierce is the book. Gretchen Carlson, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Violetta Pattermanek's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Pro Contra with Anna DeBlasio is right here, 720 WGN. The governor of the state of Illinois is sitting in the studio with us.
How great is that?
And, you know, we often talk, governor, about things that are going wrong in the state of Illinois. Things that, oh, I wish we're only better. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? Madigan this, Madigan that. Let's talk about something that's good. Let's talk about something that is a positive thing.
Yeah, huge, huge opportunity for the state of Illinois. You know, research universities drive innovation and technology development. They drive the formation of new companies. And you can look at what Harvard and MIT have done in New England. You look at what Stanford and Berkeley have done in California. It's extraordinary. We have that opportunity here in the state of Illinois. We don't have just two world-class universities. We have three world-class research universities that can drive massive innovation and job creation. And today we announced a new collaboration, a new partnership between the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, University of Chicago here in Chicago, as well as Northwestern University up in Evanston.
Never heard of that one. Which one is that?
Go Cats.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's who they are.
That
yeah.
one.
Those are three of the greatest universities in the world.
Sure.
They already drive innovation, but now we're going to have what we call the Illinois Innovation Network. It's basically a collaboration between those three, sharing faculty and students, sharing research projects, forming companies together, spinning out students to form companies and really pushing economic growth as a result. This can produce hundreds and hundreds of thousands of new jobs, transform the Chicago economy, Champaign-Urbana, Rockford, Peoria, where we're going to also expand. It's very exciting. And today we're on the south side on Roosevelt Road, right on the river, along with a company called Related Midwest. It's one of the big developers in Illinois. They control about 62 acres, I believe, there on the river, and they are going to give, they're going to donate a chunk of that land to the University of Illinois for a new facility location that we're going to call the Discovery Partners Institute. It's basically going to be a location where students from Urbana-Champaign, along with from U of C and Northwestern and others, can come do research, groundbreaking innovations in data and analytics, as well as in food science and agriculture, as well as in biosciences and healthcare, and then form companies there and in Champaign and really drive major economic growth. It's very, very exciting.
Connect the dots for us, if you will, Governor. How, does this draw new companies to want to invest in Illinois because of the talent pool, because of the investment? What's the draw here?
The answer is absolutely yes. I've already talked to some companies who said, boy, you do this, we're going to want to come. Want to be here near any pipeline of talent of that quality and quantity. Let me give you some numbers. The U of I is one of the largest in the world computer science and engineering schools, and one of the highest quality.
Invented the computer, basically.
Basically.
Right. You think about it, PayPal, eBay, YouTube, Yelp, all these companies. Larry Ellison was there for a few years. You think about all these companies that were these guys that were here, and we lost them to Silicon Valley.
No, that's exactly right. And so you point out the exact issue. We need to keep the students and the faculty here in Illinois in the business ecosystem, get them internships, get them scholarships, get them with Google here, get them with other companies here, and then help them start companies right while they're still students and while they're doing the research. We can drive innovation just like Silicon Valley, only even more so.
This is, and you know, and I've had this plan. Tom Skilling and I have had this plan for years to dome downtown so that the weather's like Northern California year round.
You can trick them.
I mean, we can do that. I mean, that's, I think, a little bit of the issue. I mean, because, well, it's the weather. We have to go because of snowstorms. But it's,
frosty.
You know, the weather's been kind of okay. Well, this is not too far from the UIC campus. I mean, is this going to be
just
an integration?
The river, that's right.
Essentially, of what's going on there? Because you do have, I think that's one of the things in Chicago, because with the exception of Illinois basketball, you know, Illinois. The Chicagoans don't think about the University of Illinois other than, oh, they, you know, they have neighbors or friends or people who they know went there.
Yep.
It's one of the most attractive universities in the nation for computer sciences and math brains and stuff like that.
Exactly right.
Right? And it's it invented the computer. As a matter of fact, when you watch 2001: A Space Odyssey,
you're right. You're the only person who's ever said that's exactly right.
When they're shutting down the HAL, the HAL was born in Urbana, Illinois, and you're like, right? And he starts singing Daisy, and it's very creepy, but it's all about that.
Oh my gosh. Remember about how Al Gore used to say he invented the internet or whatever? If any place invented the internet, it's probably as much DARPA and champagne. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. World class innovation, and as you point out, dozens and dozens of companies have been formed by their alumni.
Yeah.
Just not very many in Illinois. We've got to keep them here. We've got to integrate them in the business ecosystem, and that's what this is all about.
That's why Amazon would be – this is a perfect place for Amazon, by the way. I don't know if I could say that enough.
We'd love to have Amazon.
Place we for are. Amazon.
Jeff Bezos,
I say it
10
times a day. We are far and away the best location. And now, with this Discovery Partners Institute coming right there to the river, right near wherever Amazon might pick, and with that pipeline of talent, with everything we got going for us, we are far and away the best location.
Some of the details of these crazy bids have come out already. New Jersey offering $7 billion in incentives. You've got a town in Texas that's willing to build a super town right around a bullet train.
We got it.
No,
we don't need a bullet train.
Right, you don't, but you just look at it. Do we really have a chance here when you look at this many bids?
Well, you know what? You got to be careful. There's a lot of numbers that get thrown around. Well, you got to look. What does it mean? What's the detail? Right. There's a lot of devil in the detail on that. What we have that no other city has, when you look at the criteria that Amazon listed, we have world-class, no better airport than O'Hare.
Nope.
No better university system, a density of university system, a pipeline of talent than here, and now especially with new Illinois Innovation Network.
Right.
No better public transit. They want public transit. Texas doesn't have public transit.
No, public transit. It's a pickup truck in Texas. One.
One in four cars.
This is an amazing thing, too. Because intermodal, right? And Ed Seidel is with us, and Ed is the Vice President for Economic Development and Innovation at U of I. Let's talk about that intermodal thing, right? Because first of all, Northwestern's transportation program is one of the best in the world, right? In terms of designing and urban planning and things like that. They're world famous for that. DePaul, even they're not part of this, but they have an excellent urban planning.
They will be.
There are such great advantages to this, and talk a little bit about what this means to U of I.
Well, it's more than just the transportation system, which is important, but we also have the best network in the world that comes right into Chicago. So all the international connect points from other countries on optical networks, the highest speed networks, they come right into Chicago.
People don't realize that there's a hub that, train hub and the aviation hub and the intermodal hub that Chicago has been for the last 150 years. Everything that comes through the internet in North America comes through Chicago.
It does.
We're a data hub for the whole North America.
Right.
Right. And then we also have, for example, at UIC here in Chicago, we have one of the world's centers for developing collaborative environments over high-speed networks. So you could imagine this room is like part of a holodeck that connects right down into Urbana, connects right into Peoria. And so we'll be able to connect companies and students together with faculty from across not only the university system, but across the entire state, including with partners across the world. And so we'll be able to do that in ways to address complex problems that you can't just do with one or two groups. You have all of them working together.
When you talk to Governor, leaders from whether it's other governors or business leaders, I guess it's better, business leaders from around the country, and you know a lot of them from your previous life.
That's right.
We spend so much time, especially in our business, talking about what's wrong. Yeah. I mean, they see the upside of Chicago. They see the upside of Illinois, don't they?
No, absolutely. Ro, I can't tell you how many CEOs have said to me, Governor, boy, we love Illinois with the people you got, with the location you got, with the transportation network you got, with the universities and the school system you got. We'd like to be there. Many of them say, not all. The good news is not all, but many of them say, but boy, your taxes and your fiscal responsibility and your regulations. So that keeps them out. We had GE. GE was going to move their world headquarters here. They were coming. Illinois, first choice. And boy, if we were able to announce the network then, we might have still got them. But you know what they said to me? One of their board members, public company, said, Bruce, Governor, I mean, I know a lot of them from business.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They said, you got to show us, you're not going to do to us what Connecticut's been doing to us, which is what was their headquarters.
Them.
And I said, so before I commit, what are they doing to you? Let me be clear. And they said, they run deficits every year. And they don't pay their pensions, and they just raise the income tax every 3 years to cover it. If that's what you guys are going to do with us, we're not coming. I said, well, give me a few months because I think we can get us on a different track. Haven't been able to reform some of that yet. And so they said, we'd like to come, but we can't bet yet. I think we're going to get them eventually. I think
but
we're
going to
get a whole bunch
deal.
Of the year.
I mean, you got to connect the dots here in a lot of ways. And that's a way to connect the dots so that people understand that Illinois, one of the problems, you know, it's fun to talk about. It's fun to get mad at people, right, in politics. It's becoming modern sport. But there's a real ramification.
Yes, absolutely.
To elections and to the decisions that are made and to whether we just continue to kick the can down the road in terms of, you know, scoop and dump or whatever we learned yesterday.
Scoop and dump. We learned a new one.
These business investors didn't become successful by not worrying about the detail and studying the numbers.
Sure.
And they look at the numbers and they go, oh, boy. We're going to make a 30-year mega billion-dollar investment? I'm not so sure.
You know what you tell them? I'll be happy to go with you on your next plan.
Other than the dome?
The dome I'm working on. It might be a few years away, but I'm working on. We got fresh water. We're never running out of fresh water.
That's
supply
right.
of fresh water.
Big deal.
And it is a gigantic deal, actually.
Over the next 50 years, our water resource in Illinois is going to be a key part of our
economy.
We're
the Saudi Arabia of the Western Hemisphere.
Of the oil.
Yes.
I mean, of the water. That's right.
Yes. And corn, as far as the eye can see.
Got a lot of corn.
I mean,
no problems with
it's
that.
Really
pumpkins
true.
This time of year, also important.
Yep. Yeah, turkeys. I think we're number one turkey manufacturer, something like that. So, I mean, the thing is that we have all of these great
things. We have everything going for us. And we are a leader. We have the most diverse economy of any state. We don't overly rely on any one sector. And we're great in manufacturing and agriculture and distribution and healthcare and education.
That's healthcare, too. That's another thing.
Huge opportunity in healthcare. And our Illinois Innovation Network that we announced today and the U of I, they are creating a very advanced hospital and special medical school in Champaign-Urbana that's going to drive massive new innovation in the whole healthcare sector.
Well, what Michigan has done. I mean, this is an interesting model. Michigan has done this where they put Michigan State and University of Michigan together in a medical program in Grand Rapids, and they're testing it throughout the state.
Yep.
And let's just take politics out of this for a second. Let's just look at where healthcare is really going. Healthcare is going into these regionalized circumstances, and who knows how we're going to be able to pay for it. Maybe these hospitals will self-insure at some point, or the medical systems will self-insure, and you can't get better than University of Chicago and Northwestern in
that's right?
And University of Illinois.
That's exactly right.
When you look at what Michigan's done, you have Michigan, Michigan State. You look at what Harvard and MIT have done. You look at Stanford and Berkeley. Then you look at what we have. We have assets that are as good as those and better and they have a scale that they don't have. So you put them all together and you put them in the Discovery Partners Institute in Chicago. You concentrate them along with Argonne National Lab and Fermilab. We have a talent base and a technology base here that's just unparalleled
anywhere.
Second
to none. Right. Second to none.
Now, when are we going to get like a high-speed rail between Champaign-Urbana and Chicago?
We'll be working on that. That's a long term. I tell you, some of the ideas that have been come to me from some folks is say, let's get a special bus lane on I-57 and down the Dan Ryan, which is not that hard to do, and we can come up with some road money for that, and then have some high-tech buses, big, with video conferencing, private conference rooms, high-speed internet, and then have these guys come back and forth on these buses, which are basically rolling offices and meeting back and forth between Urbana, Champaign, and downtown. It's totally doable.
Well,
we can do that quickly.
I got a short-term solution for you. After we get to the doming, I want you to do this. How about a 130-mile-an-hour speed limit on I-57? I do it anyway. Everybody does it. Right off 94. It's happened. I don't want it. You know, you probably saw the records in your office about that, Governor. Something that. All right. Well,
none of us are going to go there.
You know,
it's exciting stuff.
This is exciting stuff.
It really is.
And you know, we got to talk about when the sun shines here in the state of Illinois, and it shines on a lot of it. And we spend a lot of time talking about when the clouds and the darkness and winter is coming and all of that. And the reality is that we have some of the greatest universities in the world right here within 100 miles of the city
best
of Chicago.
Best people, best location, best transportation. We will be kicking tails when we can do this. This is going to be exciting.
Is your basketball team going to be better this year?
Yes.
Okay.
New coach.
You heard it here.
Right? New coach. Everybody's excited about him. Good.
Yes.
All right. There are certain things in Illinois we're going to need. I was very excited about Lovie. I still think there's a turnaround coming. You got the stadium updated and everything. Now we just got to get the basketball thing right.
Everything's looking good.
Come up and play DePaul in their beautiful new stadium right here, the Wintrust Stadium.
There you go.
All of that. All right.
Great.
Governor, thanks for being with us.
Great
Ed,
to be
thank
with
you
guys.
Very much
thanks.
For being
with
us. Really
thanks
appreciate
so
it. Right now, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
This This week, no need to fear. Chicago's Best has great food and great beer. Hey, that rhymes. Don't miss an all-new Chicago's Best Brew Pub Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Do you think they intended that to rhyme?
I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to say that was well-written copy, so thank you very much to the Chicago's Best folks.
All right. It's been a very interesting show. Power-packed, action-packed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's coming to a screeching halt because we're going to play Blackhawks Pick'em.
Oh, my gosh. My least favorite game.
Yeah. Now, we do have coming up News or Ruse with Chris Bowden, newest member of the WGN family and Blackhawks family. He's going to play that at 6 o'clock.
I like News or Ruse.
But Blackhawks Pick'em. And have you noticed every time we play Blackhawks Pick'em, I try to make it go by so fast.
You do. It's you like can't speed even tell. Round.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Pick. It's like, wow.
I'm trying to get Blackhawks Pick'em down to a 30-second bit.
You
if
did
I can
a good
do
job
it.
Yesterday. Was it yesterday we played?
Yes.
It was very well done because yes, it was like 3 minutes total for the entire game.
Back-to-back games. Yeah, back-to-back games. We got the and tonight, the Oilers taking on the Hawks at the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Steve from Chicago, he tied for the win. The ties go to the callers with Judy. So Judy goes last.
Woo, woo.
Yeah, Judy got 2 points.
I go last?
Well, yeah, but it was a bad game last night, you know, for the Hawks.
Who scored?
Are you blaming me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Let's see, Ryan Hartman had a goal,
mm-hmm.
and Richard Panik had a goal.
Okay.
So Violetta got a point yesterday. And DeBrincat.
Oh, I love DeBrincat.
Yeah, you. That
I had
was
him.
He was yours. He had an assist, so he had a point last night. I, on the other hand, none of my guys did anything, but I picked very, very last. So Kevin and I go first here to start.
Okay, we'll make it speedy.
Yeah, it is huge. By the way, I'm glad you brought your organ in today, Kev.
Bring a little entertainment to Wrigley.
Kevin just, I like how Kevin just turns his microphone on and turns it off from Wrigley. Like, I don't want the ambience of this place to get in the way of my bit.
Sometimes there's cheering behind
Kevin.
Ambience?
You want a little bit?
Yeah, a little ambience.
All right, a little batting practice going on.
If you're out there.
If you're coming to the game tonight, extra layer, heavy coat, wind's coming in off the lake. It is much, much colder today than the past 2 days.
Last night, I was there and I thought, wow, I dressed for like the Arctic.
No, it wasn't bad.
And I was sweating and I was like, and it was, so I had a scarf on. I'm like, why am I wearing a scarf? And everybody around me is like, what kind of a fop is that guy for wearing a scarf?
Tonight, bring a scarf.
Yeah,
bring the scarf. Okay,
it's that dress coming
like
off
Rokan.
The lake. It's just right when I got here, I could tell the difference. The wind's blowing in today, so much, much colder.
I was looking for you during the game last night when they did the cutaways of the crowd, and I was because you're so emotive during the games, and I thought I got to see Ro's face during all this, but
there
I
were
never
moments.
Saw you.
So funny that they. I think I saw Pete.
Yeah, I saw Pete.
Yeah.
He was very excited after that final out.
Yeah, I mean, he was like sitting in the front row. I'm like, how did he get in the front row?
Next to Rauner.
No,
he wasn't there.
We just had the governor in. He said he was not there last night.
Oh, okay.
He decided to sit all the way back now.
Right, but I just couldn't. But I was very emotional last night. I was nutty in the seats because I was. But I do that thing where I'm just nervous. I'm intensively nervous and staring and chewing on my hand. I got almost to my elbow last night. I was chewing so hard.
There was much more life to Wrigley last night compared to Game 3. Game 3, it was like, what's going on here? Everybody was really into it last night. I don't know if it was just a different crowd or everyone was just clinging on to life.
You know why? Because
you were there?
Those seats, the seats that came up last night, went at face value or sometimes less. So it was Cub fans who were there for baseball.
You get the real fans.
Well, you got people who really, you know, people who want to be at the game, not people who were like, oh, I've been to 2 Cub games in my entire life, but we're going because it's the NLCS. I don't even know what that means.
It'll look great on Instagram.
They were winning, which is easier to have fun.
That's true.
And there were some great moments.
Well, you can finally breathe.
They've been winning in every game. But they've given up the lead in every game.
Yeah, but this was a very – but there was a distinctive feeling of, you know, do or die last night. Crowd wanted to take them over. And then – and, you know, people are going to – I know, Kev, you and I disagree about this, Joe Maddon getting out there and getting thrown out of the game now. Second time in the NLCS he's done that. But I think that emotional moment, because he was right, the umps were wrong, the mm-hmm. ump today apologized for it. It was one of those moments. And the place – my whole life I've been going there. I've never heard it that loud. It sounded like the inside of the United Center.
Oh, wow.
And for an outdoor stadium to be that loud mm-hmm. is almost impossible. That stadium, because it's got an open, you know, because three-fifths of it is open, right?
Sure.
It's not a bowl.
Makes a difference.
And don't you think it kind of gave like a boost to – the team and everyone, it just kind of changed things a little bit.
The momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, now, well, thank God he struck that guy out. Inning.
I was sitting next to the L.A. Dodgers wives last night.
Did you say sup? Like? Sup, ladies?
Yeah. How you doing?
What's going on?
How you doing? I was trying to figure out who was married to whom. And, you know, so to the Wildling, we did see that guy's wife.
The Wildling, Turner?
Yeah. Turner's wife is kind of famous because she's sort of like an Instagram star.
Oh.
So she was there. And last
year. Does she look like a Wildling?
No. No, she's very pretty. All the Dodgers' wives are very pretty, but they all look like they're on True Housewives, and they all had goblets of wine. Like, they were all sitting there. And I think at one point, two of them got into a cat fight. I'm not sure. Really? Like, are you going to look at me like that? Are you going to bring that up right now? And you could tell it was really funny because all the, like, they had little Dodger daughters and little Dodger sons there, too,
oh,
all the little
sweet.
Kids. But they all had nannies. Like, the nannies were there with the big backpacks, right? That had all the stuff in it, in the backpack. And you could say, and the nannies did not look like the wives, if you know what I mean. So there was like a whole, like, there was a nanny section with the little kids, and then the wives were all drinking goblets of wine.
How do they get goblets of wine?
That sounds perfect.
I don't know. That's because they're the Dodgers' wives.
That's a great way to enjoy
the wives
the game.
Of the Dodgers. I'm telling you, I'm going to call Seacrest. We're going to do a show. All right, we've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got WGN News in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc is right here, 720 WGN. Do you want to play Blackhawks Pick 'em? I could read you the rules and how it works, but I don't want to do that.
Don't.
Because it's just too confusing.
The way the rules
go to WGNRadio.com. You're going to just pick three Blackhawks, and if they have a point total that's higher than the rest of our point totals, you win. And it's a $50 Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
So it's worth your time.
And you'll probably win.
Caller number 20, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200, because you go first.
Listener picks first.
And he picks with the producer, Joe, our producer today. Jeff is out, injured. He's got he's day-to-day right now.
Oh.
Upper or lower?
Upper body. He and Bobby Portis got into it, too.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah. Stay away from him.
So
He's got trouble.
He's got an upper body, and he's out day-to-day. I think, did the video go up yet at WGNRadio.com?
Of Portis taking out Jeff?
Bobby Portis took out Jeff, yeah. Didn't like those two have been competing over this job too. The producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc
well,
for
a
years.
He needs a fallback plan after the Bulls.
Yeah,
2-year contract.
No. Does now for sure. Does now for sure. I don't know what is now. All right, so what we're gonna do? We all have our picks. Then you and I are starting first, Kev. Actually first.
I feel like I've been picking last this whole season.
Yeah, now you're gonna be picking first.
Finally.
Yeah, and that's interesting. A couple things, couple lineup changes tonight.
Okay.
Do you have the who's out yet, Kev? Did they send that to you? The Hawks send that to you?
Yeah, I have most of it. Let me see here. I've got a couple nuggets. Well, Forsberg's gonna be in net tonight. Not that anybody's gonna pick him. Osterley's in, Caro is in. Let's see here. Tanner Caro is in,
okay.
Yes.
All right, because they had him out. Franzen's out and Ruda's out, right?
Oh, Ruda's out. Is that right?
Sounds accurate. Yes, Jordan Osterley is in. Ruda's out.
Okay, Jordan Osterley is in. Do you know if Cody Franzen's in or out? We don't know. I was handed this.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. It no. might matter because we run out. People have to get the last three on here. Don't you understand
the rules
of Blackhawks pick-em?
Please don't make him read them again. Please, Kevin.
We can't.
Oh my gosh.
Not even Mike Monaco can read them
no,
and make any sense of
them.
They
were worse than legalese. They were like nonsensies.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg called, and she said, "We will not take the case of Blackhawks Pick'em." I'm telling
you
right now. This doesn't make any sense. What you're doing?
But you win a $50 Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just a way to give away a $50 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's.
I wish we could come up with a less confusing way.
Just pizza in the game.
There's no question about that, as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to go in your deep dish,
it's the best.
You know, your Chicago
style. I like it because it's not, like, overly deep. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's that perfect amount of deepness.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice depth
great.
There.
And they got to get the butter crust.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Get the butter crust.
The crust.
A full
I
layer
eat.
Of sausage. I get where it's like a whole, it's like the dough, then a full layer of sausage, extra
it's
cheese.
Like it's a sausage disc. That
yes.
they lay on the thing as opposed to, and you get the crumbled sausage, which, by the way, my doctors tell me is preferable.
Really? And,
yes.
Better for you?
Okay. Yeah, might be a little bit better.
You're missing out on all that protein.
It's like a manhole cover of sausage is what it is that they put on.
Beautiful.
I mean, if you want sausage, it's the best. And there's something, you know, you could tell they've got The sauce at Malnati's.
Oh, there's something just perfect about it.
It's got like I don't know if it's beer or wine.
Wine. I taste
it's wine.
Wine.
It's wine. Okay.
And there, I always ask extra tomato sauce and then garlic. Another pro tip for
you. Yeah, they'll do it. Yeah.
They'll do the garlic in pro the tip. Sauce.
Hey, speaking of pro tips, you know what I found out? The first hour after the gates open at Wrigley, food 20% off.
No
way. So you're coming
way.
To the game tonight. Yeah, hit the hot dog stand soon and early and often.
Do you still get like a card with about money on
it? Yeah, and
it?
That's
you
how can, I found out because like I was getting card. Some food and I'm like, this is not adding up. And she and they were like, no, the first hour when the gates open.
So what'd you get that was good, Kev?
Actually, I went down to the Sheffield Counter, which is your best bet here at Wrigley Field because most of the food, let's be honest, not phenomenal.
Yeah, but I learned that the hard way last night.
Sheffield Corner, they have the celebrity pop-up like Graham Elliott has, yep. has done
oh,
that throughout
yes.
the
he
year.
Was there so. Last, I saw him in the bathroom last night.
Yeah,
at
was
the
he,
trough?
And I told him, you got to wash your hands.
Were you at the trough?
Yes, he was at the trough. I was at the trough. Hey, how you doing, Graham?
So you do talk at the trough.
Well, I talked when he got to the sink.
Okay.
We talked to the sink.
Probably better.
I didn't want to do that.
You talk with, like, staring forward, though. Like, nobody
yeah, you
looks
don't,
at you.
No eye contact.
Right. Although you stare forward at the trough and you're staring into somebody else's eyes.
That's
because you like, you are literally across from people at the trough.
Oh, gee.
And I almost had a very bad splash moment last night at the trough that was like.
On Graham Elliott?
No. He was away at that point.
Okay.
There was a guy, I don't know how much I could tell this on the radio, but there was a guy standing next to me at the trough who decided that, you know, a little shake and bake at the end. And oh my God. I'm like, dude.
Oh, got on
you.
Some guys shake way too much. It's like, you don't need that much. Be a little more efficient with your shaking.
Yeah. How about forward, sir? Not side to side.
Oh, gee. I guess I'm happy to deal with longer lines than having to deal with shaking on
me. Oh, it was just, it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and people do it like they're in their own bathroom and they start backing away while they're doing that. It's like, cover it up, man.
We're in it. This is not even a public bathroom situation. Right. It's a trough.
That's
it's a trough.
Right.
This is
rude.
Right. Not since Game of Thrones season four
by inhumanity.
By season seven, they had urinals on Game of Thrones. That's how advanced it was.
They did.
Yeah. And the backing away thing, don't do that at your own house either. That's just disrespectful for everyone else who lives there.
Right. I mean, it's messy either way, but at least at home, like, you're not putting on a show for everyone else. Like, for a
this
whole
guy was putting on a show, and I'm like, dude, we don't need a show. We're trying to get back. It's 3-1. We're trying to get back.
Did he get you? Like, he got you?
I know. It looked like it.
Bro burned all his clothes.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I mean, when it happened, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I didn't want to even look down. I'm like, there's nothing I could do about it right now. I'm going to have to wear pants.
Well, you could go to the gift shop and get new clothes.
New pants? You don't get pants at the gift shop.
They don't have sweatpants?
They don't have pants. No.
Oh. That's
so I'm like, I got nothing here. I got to do what I got to do.
Bring like your rain golf suit next time and put it on before you go to
layers.
The bathroom.
Think of layers. I was thinking about
poncho.
I'm thinking
when it's not raining.
I'm thinking about getting a paper pant overlay that you slip on before you go into
you
the.
You should market that.
But I'm telling you, like, you go to the United Center. I'm going to be at the United Center tonight. You go there, and it's like
respectful.
It's like a regular bathroom with real stuff going on.
Yeah.
Got dividers,
right? And they got a little something to read on the wall. They got something, you know, they got stuff, not just people's phone numbers. I mean, it's a real thing. But at Wrigley Field in the trough, and you know, you get in line like cattle going to a slaughter.
Yeah,
and you get through, and then you're there, and then all of a sudden, a guy's deciding.
Do people rush you like standing behind you?
Well, the line is like wrapped around the concourse.
Yeah,
there's always a massive line.
It moves fast though. But it's funny, and then all of a sudden you got the guy doing the shaking, and I'm like, oh no, that
ain't right. You got to put some rules up there or something.
And you got guys who walk in there with their beer, and they put their beer like like above the trough, on like the little wall up there.
Well, you don't want to waste a beer, but leave it at the seat, right?
Yeah. All right. We got to play Blackhawks Pick'em.
Yeah,
this is a long way.
We're doing Pick'em.
All right, Kathy, who are you taking on the Blackhawks Pick'em?
Kathy's like, after listening to that,
like,
I'm hanging up.
Where's Kathy?
She will have no
Why
part
do we not
this.
Have Kathy?
Hello?
Hello, Kathy. Go ahead. Who are you picking?
Sod, Kane, and Taze.
Sod, Kane, and Taze. That seems to be,
All right,
pretty,
you win.
All right. Just give her the $50 now. All right, hold on, Kathy. That was very good. That was very, very good. Well done. Sod, Kane, and Taze.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Kev, who are you going to take?
I'll go Panic, Schmaltz, and Sharp.
Oh, you took Schmaltz.
And you
Damn
took Sharp.
You.
I take Sharp usually.
Yeah. All right. Okay. You left me with I'm Ryan Hartman.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Jordan Osterley too, because he's coming in. You know, like
he's gonna be fired
the new
up.
Kid. Yeah. And I'm going to take Alex DeBrincat.
Okay. Nice. Good picks. Who's next?
The next person up. Hold on. I got the list right here. Next person up is you, Anna.
Okay. I'm going to go Wingles. And then the Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
And the Seabrook.
All right. So
oh,
now
I missed Anisimov. Can I do Anisimov instead? I'm sorry. I like Anisimov better.
Who are you giving up?
Seabrook.
All right, you're giving up Seabrook, and you're going with Anisimov. See, yep. This is why people
hate
this game.
I know, but I just saw that. This is,
All right, well, now Judy wishes to sue somebody here, but it's actually Violetta's turn. All right, Violetta, who do you like?
Okay, Boma,
mm-hmm.
Frostling, Murphy.
Forsling.
You know what I mean.
Connor Murphy. All right, Judy, you got nothing left. Oh, you know what you have, Judy?
I got Keith and Seabrook.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Seabrook already.
Yeah. No, Anna gave Seabrook back.
I'll take both of them.
Keith scored his first goal last night.
And Kempney.
Oh, my God. I think Judy's going to win.
That's a sleeper pick right there
from
Judy.
Oh, my God. Totally, totally well done.
Thank you.
All right. Whole team. Whole team's taken. This is why this
so
game.
So fun.
Yeah. Really, it's great. All right.
Well, good luck, Kathy.
Yeah. And, Kev, you're sitting out in the stands, right? So when you go to the little girl's room, you have to go,
I go back to the press box.
Oh, you do? Oh, you can?
Is that a trough?
That way I don't have to stare in the eyes of another man while I'm doing my business.
No. You know what they do? The press box, though, that's not a great bathroom situation either because there's
small.
Too few.
Yeah.
There's, two urinals and, two headers.
Right. Right, and I'll give you another first-world problem. Walking from the seats to the press box is actually a major problem because the concourse is so small here, it takes forever to get down the line. So you got to time it perfectly.
Yeah, See, they haven't figured that part out. They've done so many really cool stuff. The outside of all the wraparound stuff, and wait till you see. Mm-hmm. That building they're building to the south of Wrigley Field, that's
Addison.
On Sheffield,
Addison
and Sheffield, then wraps around
huge.
The entire block of Clark down to whatever that is.
Yeah.
It is. That is going to be. That's going to be great. That's
is
open.
Is that the hotel?
No, the hotel is off.
The other way. The hotel is to the west of Wrigley. This is to the south. This is going to be apartments. This is going to be shopping and entertainment.
Restaurants, bar. Yeah.
It is going to be a 365 neighborhood now.
Can
There's
I ask
no
a question?
Question about it.
Are the people in the apartments going to complain that people are urinating around Wrigley Field?
Right. Or if it's too
What's
loud.
What's all this noise around here?
Right.
Why is it so light tonight?
What?
I want them to dim the lights.
I want them to go. It's too loud.
Get my alderman on the phone.
Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Favorite time of day.
Hey, don't forget, we're coming up on a live show here next Friday. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at the Hofbrauhaus, dressed in lederhosen.
And drindles.
Oh, I tried mine on today.
What'd you think?
It's like a glove.
Did you try it on at Wrigley?
Is that good or is that bad?
The curves and all the right spots.
Hey, are you thinking, Kev, that maybe you should wear the lederhosen at Wrigley? If you have to go back to L.A., I will pay you. I can't come up with a dollar amount in my head, but I will pay you to go to Chavez Ravine, to Dodger Stadium, in lederhosen.
In Cubs lederhosen.
Yeah. Wear the Cubs hat on.
The Cubs hat on, right, just to identify yourself. Mm-hmm.
Not only will my credential get stripped, I'd probably get arrested as well.
Probably.
Sir, we need you to leave ASAP. What?
Anyway, too much is exposed.
The point is, go to WGNradio.com/events. You're going to see all the details. First 250 people arrive, get a Rostrong wristband. How about that?
Who doesn't want one of those?
The WGN Radio Hometown Voices are presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. It's the Hofbrauhaus on Friday, a week from tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
in Rosemont.
Come in costume.
Parking like you've never seen parking before. Now, getting from the parking, even though the parking's right there, right next to the restaurant, figuring out how to get from the parking to the restaurant, sometimes a little tricky in Rosemont.
It's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun there.
After the party, even harder, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's an excellent point.
You make a lot of friends in the elevator.
It is. It's good. That is a
Everyone's cool. helping each other out. So this is, if you're going here, this is the spot to be. Everyone's got a little people. Tip.
Hey, if you're going to the third floor, follow me.
Right. Let's go. Grab a flashlight.
It is a little confusing, but it is great. That is a really fun area out there in Rosemont. That whole, mm-hmm. Whatever.
Awesome.
MB Financial, whatever they call that.
You've also never felt more satisfied after you find your car. It's like the best feeling of accomplishment.
Yes, it's true.
You're like, I got back here.
It's really something. All right. Richard Roper joins us. He's going to be doing some reviews for us coming up for the weekend, getting you ready for the weekend. And you know what it's time for, of course.
Yes. It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
This is the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show.
All right. This is a lot going on here today, so we'll get right to it. Checking in at
number 5.
All right, there's been a week worth of controversy here about the how presidents should respond to Gold Star families, families of the fallen. And John Kelly went to the podium in the White House press briefing room today and explained, without contradicting this whole notion that the president did say to at least one Gold Star family, the Miami family, that the president did say, well, he knew what he signed up for. John Kelly put it in perspective because he said that the president had asked him what should he say. The president's not, you know, listen, this is a tough job for anybody. When one of the first things you have to learn on the job is how to deal with this. So the president, and I'm going to give the president some credit here. I never give him credit. I'm going to give him credit here. That he went to John Kelly, who's not only a very decorated Marine general, but he's also a guy who has lost his own child in combat in Afghanistan.
And rarely talks about it, doesn't politicize it, doesn't just really doesn't make much of his feelings known about it.
And the president did start by politicizing it by blaming everybody else because he was flat-footed by why didn't you reach out to the service members, families that were killed in Niger. But this is, you know, this it should end here. And I think John Kelly, this is what John Kelly's best friend told him after he lost his son.
He said to me, what do I say? I said to him, sir, there's nothing you can do to lighten the burden on these families. But let me tell you what I tell them. And let me tell you what my best friend, Joe Dunford, told me, because he was my casualty officer. He said, Kel, he was doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was killed.
So those were the words of advice, what he was told when his own son had died.
He knew what he was getting into by joining that 1%. He knew what the possibilities were because we're at war. And when he died, in the four cases we're talking about, Niger, my son's case in Afghanistan, when he died, he was surrounded by the best men on this earth, his friends. That's what the president tried to say to to four families the other day.
All right. I think this is a good moment for this controversy to end. I think it's a good moment for the cable news channels, specifically even CNN, who I've, you know, generally been supportive of and a fan of during this whole period. I think CNN has now crossed the Rubicon here, gone too far on this issue by continuing to try to politicize it. They had another Gold Star family person on today to talk about how offended they were by the president. Now you're just using people for their grief, and that's inappropriate. This is the one moment. I don't like the fact that the president started to politicize it, but someone has to end it, and it should end here. And I think that's what John Kelly just did and should do. And there's nobody with greater respect for this issue than John Kelly that the press should have. And let's just take him at his word that the president meant to. It's not an empathetic guy, the president. He's not good at communicating things with sympathy and empathy and performing that emotion. So let's just leave it here because the fact remains 4 United States Army soldiers were killed in Niger, and we have lost, you know, there have been, I think, a couple dozen, right? Or 3 dozen soldiers who've been lost, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, who've been lost since Donald Trump has become president. And I think out of respect for the service of those men and women, or men in this case, out of respect for the job that these people have to go do, and out of respect for their families who are suffering this most grievous loss, I think it's time for everybody to shut up about this and just let the government get on with its business.
I second that. He said, keep it sacred. This is one thing you need to just keep sacred and not politicize it.
If the president politicizes it again, bad on him. But right now, I think this is a moment to cut loose on it.
I agree.
And, you know, God bless John Kelly and what he did there, because I think it's took an immense amount of bravery, and he put it all in perspective.
He did. It was a powerful, powerful speech.
All right, checking in at
number four.
Now comes George W. Bush. See this?
The painter?
No, no. Yes. Well, he is a painter now.
Oh,
that's correct.
I'm trying to get one of those paintings.
The famous painter.
Wouldn't that be cool?
One of the dogs.
Does he auction them off for charity and things like that?
I think so. I'm working on it.
That would be interesting.
It would look good here, too, or maybe in your new studios.
Mm-hmm.
He did something interesting here. He, in a speech, he's very rarely gone out and made political speeches.
True.
He railed against bigotry, rampant nationalism, and the forces of partisan division that threaten to tear this country apart.
We become the heirs of Martin Luther King Jr. by recognizing one another not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. This means that people of every race, religion, ethnicity can be fully and equally American. It means that bigotry or white supremacy in any form is blasphemy against the American creed.
Yeah.
He also talked about any policies, domestic policies that reject immigrants and the foreign trade and that kind of thing are probably going to be is not what we're about. A member of his own party calling out sort of the nationalism that's distorted into nativism, as he put it.
And we're seeing more of it here because it's kind of open in it's now. In the intellectual discussion in America. It had been out of the intellectual discussion in America since 1945. Right? I mean, that's basically where we left the train, because it was the nativism and nationalism of the 1930s that was spreading across the globe that led to World War II.
Yeah.
And then we saw the dangers of that, not just in the United States, because it wasn't as present in the United States as it was in other places, right? Germany, Italy, Spain, you know, the places that were, you know, at war, and then Japan created the conflagration that was World War II, and the greatest single element loss of human life and of human dignity when you stop and you think about that. And now here we are 75 years later, and we're sitting around going, well, I think a lot of us are just looking at our phones and thinking, well, I don't know what that was. I don't get it, so I don't care. People are going right back at it. And then you have situations like you had at the University of Florida, right, where this Richard Spencer guy was making a speech.
Do you not want to hear something? Do you not want to hear something, poor little babies, that might contradict something your professor told you? Oh. Might you have to think a little bit, child? Oh, I wouldn't want to put any of you through that.
This is a Nazi, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like
an
upstanding individual.
White nationalist who, you know, is blood and soil.
All that stuff.
You know, Jews will not replace us, that kind of thing. That's where this guy comes from. Well, you may not want, you know why? Because it's a trash heap philosophy. It was burned to the ground in 1945. It died with that bullet that went through Hitler's brain in 1945. So I don't think that you have to think very hard about why people don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, oh, poor babies or snowflakes or anything else. That's a philosophy that will not sustain. It is not an American ideal. If you want to preach that philosophy, there's plenty of other countries around the world that are, you know, hoping to make it great again. And go to one of those. This is not for the United States of America.
No.
Jagweed. All right. Here is
the nicest thing anyone ever said about him. Don't hold back.
Here, the FCC requires that I do. Here is Violetta Pottermedic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
And then there's this. Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
All right. We are now in the top five. Richard Roper is here. We are up to
number three.
In the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal, millions of women are now sharing their stories online with the Me Too movement. And it's not just a Hollywood problem. Alyssa Milano, actress and now activist, Is she an activist?
Yes.
I know she's in those commercials for, like, animal abuse, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't she do that?
She's been active in a number of causes. Okay. And she sells really cool baseball-themed clothing.
Oh.
She's an entrepreneur as well.
All right. Cool. She helped reignite the Me Too movement and told ABC News it's more than just a hashtag.
It's something that is so prevalent. It is a cultural issue that I think that we have to face. And women posting Me Too, I think, gave them the courage to not have to tell their story or not have to name their predator, but to just stand in solidarity. I think that the numbers are a testament to how powerful women can be when we do stand together and we are one.
Now, been tweeted out a million times since her initial tweet saying Me Too, and you saw Andrea Mitchell speaking to journalists yesterday, ended her speech by her, you know, she received an award, ended her speech by saying hashtag Me Too. But the whole thing was originally started by an African-American woman several years ago and found an organization. And she started the Me Too movement, I guess you could say, and is now getting, you know, a lot of coverage because of she started trying to help young women who had gone through this and just her empathy for those women.
Empathy. There's a novel 2017 concept. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Oh, really? Jimmy Kimmel? Really? You know that Orkin 50 rat-infested cities thing, right?
Oh,
you know where Chicago ended up on the list. Jeez.
Orkin made this list based on the number of rodent treatments they do. Chicago had the most, which means New York is probably still number one. You just learned to live with the rats. It's not that you have fewer rats. It's just that you gave up and started calling them roommates. L.A. came in third, but we still have the most Kardashians, so we've got that going for us. L.A. also has a rat problem, but we just call them chihuahuas and carry them around in a $4,000 purse.
Thanks, Jimmy Kimmel.
Thanks for reminding everybody.
How can that be, though? New York puts their garbage. They don't have alleys, right? They put the garbage out in front.
But that's why, I think. Because the rats like to scurry around more. I mean, you'll see the rats out by the garbage in New York, but in the alleys, they've got condos and little deck
nice
patios and barbecues. They make themselves at home in the alleys.
And abandoned buildings here.
And, of course, abandoned
buildings. Yeah. The fewer abandoned buildings in New York. Abandoned buildings in New York are like Trump Soho, only 20% occupied.
At least we're number one.
Yeah. I know. We were talking about this on the Windy City Live, and they were like, people were like, I've never seen a rat in Chicago. I'm like, you're not looking because.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, they are like downtown and, throughout the neighborhood's alleys. If you're in an alley in this city, you see them.
Or near the train tracks. I just parked near the train tracks.
Yeah.
And I saw a rat right.
Yeah, you don't see them all that often scurrying like down Michigan Avenue. But all you have to do is pull up to any alley, do it safely, but with your lights off and flick them on real fast. And then, because that's when they're like, you catch them in the act.
Right. Sometimes they're like, okay,
moving.
Act natural. That's what they say to each other.
Like,
all right, act natural.
They freeze in place.
Right. Pretend you're a squirrel.
Oh, man.
Make your tail bushy. Make your tail bushy. Listen, you don't want them, but I'm really not as freaked out by them as I used to be. They just are what they are. They really don't want anything to do with you.
No, that's true.
And as Violetta pointed out to us before, you don't want to open the trash lid too fast.
No,
right?
It's true. You learn that.
But
in the city,
yeah.
But it's our fault. It's not. If you clean up your garbage, people.
Well,
we have the rats.
It was even worse back when we just had open garbage.
Oh,
those metal, those big iron containers.
Like Thanksgiving every day for the rats.
Yeah. And you just put your trash out in that thing. There wasn't a lid or anything on it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Those lids. But the one good thing about those garbage cans is Sonny could use them to beat up his brother-in-law after he roughed up Connie in the original Godfather. Remember that? The garbage can lid.
I've seen those used in Chicago, too, in similar ways.
Popular.
Number one.
All right, so it all started when Larry David impersonated Bernie Sanders, and people were like, wow, those two really are similar. And then it turned out they're relatives. Now, Curb Your Enthusiasm back for the ninth season.
It's very good. Very, very good.
And during the CNN debate last night between Sanders and Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz took the opportunity to do a somewhat playful moment between these two.
In Denmark, which he brought up, for hip replacement was 55 days, 59 days for knee replacement. There is a reason why, Bernie, I didn't interrupt you.
I'm
just
not
relax,
interrupting you.
Just relax.
Come on. Sure. The Italian in me.
You know, as some might say, curb your enthusiasm.
I've been sitting on that for days.
By the way, the impression Larry David does of you is spectacular and uncanny.
And someday, you may also have somebody impersonated you. You gotta work on it, kid.
You know, all I need is a bunch of left-wing comedy writers to want to glamorize it.
Art. But
hold on. I was in the middle of making a point.
It's a long point, Ted. We're running out of time here.
He's been sitting on what that comment happening? For days and just pulled it out.
What are they doing?
Left-wing comedy writers. Yeah. That's what I need.
It was such a bizarre face-off.
Well, I don't think you have to be left-wing to find Ted Cruz creepy.
Yeah.
Did you see this? That he tweeted out. This is a weird moment. So Ben Sasse, yesterday during the hearings up on Capitol Hill, the one that Jeff Sessions was at, Ben Sasse, the guy from Nebraska, the senator who I think is going to run for president in 2020, mm-hmm. and may be the Republican candidate before it's all said and done. Remember that name and watch him. But he spilled a diet Dr. Pepper on Ted Cruz.
I thought the wording was dumped, meaning it was intentional.
No, he hit it accidentally and it spilled. It was not intentional.
Okay.
I think it might have been.
Because I thought he enjoyed it. We decided, Senator Cruz, do that again.
So here's what it sounded like yesterday.
There was some drama there. Sorry to have added to the drama and distracted you for a minute. I was paying enough attention there that I dumped a Dr. Pepper on Senator Cruz. So that's what was distracting us on this side of the dais.
He said dump, but he meant it.
I hear it now, the context.
Yeah. So he spills the Dr. Pepper on him, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so Sasse sends out then they're kind of making fun of each other on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Sasse has this thing out about where he's wearing a T-shirt. That he's wearing a Who Killed JFK T-shirt because of the whole controversy that Donald Trump started about whether Ted Cruz's father was behind the assassination.
Oh, right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yep.
Right. And somehow we're still taking the guy seriously. I guess because we have to call him Mr. President, but whatever. Then Ted Cruz tweets out the Son of Sam letter.
What?
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Not Son of Sam.
Zodiac Killer.
Zodiac Killer letter in the Zodiac writing.
Right. That was bizarre.
And what was the context on that?
Well, because some people have thought that some people have said that Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer because he's so creepy. Oh. And then he hits himself right over the head with sending out the Zodiac Killer letter, which is very creepy with the whole circle and the X at the bottom.
Exactly.
The cross.
Weird.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
Why are they even having a debate? It's like the Nationals are playing the Indians in a baseball game right now. You don't get to play anymore. You lost. You got eliminated.
Plus, a debate with those two. They agree on nothing.
Let's go back and debate. Why?
Well, because they get some ratings with it, putting Bernie Sanders out there. They should have just me and Larry David do it.
You want ratings.
Pretty good.
That is so weird.
It just
doesn't make sense, any of it.
No, that's true.
It doesn't make sense.
Bernie does smell like mothballs,
though.
Oh, gee. Makes me think of my grandmother, because I found her body after she passed.
Hopefully it was natural causes.
That's what the coroner said.
All right.
Yuck.
Is it time now to go?
Yeah. Wrap it up.
Yes, please. Yeah.
The top five at five.
Yes, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlasis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper's in the studio with us.
Yes.
Okay. Possibly, possibly go wrong. Richard was with Richard last night. We were all together at the Cubs game. Now, Richard is not a Cubs fan. I think that's
correct.
The Earth White
well
Sox
established.
Fan. As a matter of fact, turns out Richard's kind of a Dodgers fan.
It's true.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's true. Well, growing up, I was a White Sox fan, and you always pick another team. So, like in football, sure. I always liked the Raiders because they were always colorful. Mm-hmm. And then I remember reading a book when I was like 11 or 12 about Jackie Robinson and the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Boys of Summer and all that stuff. Yeah. And I thought, oh, what a cool organization. I'll be a Dodgers fan. And they always had a lot of really fun teams that were big guys, but especially back then, you know, pitching, defense, stealing bases, all that kind of good stuff, just like the White Sox used to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, very rich history. So always,
yeah, exactly.
I was just at Dodger Stadium for the first time Sunday to see them play the Cubs, and they have it's such a retro stadium with the Oregon, but they also have the DJ music, but then they have that wall to Jackie Robinson and so many of the other players, and they celebrate their history. It was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Richard wore L.A. Dodgers socks last night,
he
too.
He did not.
Well, I don't want to be the jerk that shows up like in the. I never wear like White Sox stuff to a Cubs game, and I don't want to be the jerk in the Dodgers uniform and jerseys and stuff. Especially since I was with Ro, who's a noted Cubs fan,
yep.
and Grant DePorter, who I don't know, is just a very little known restaurateur just trying to get a name break here in town.
Never gets in the press. Yeah,
and his lovely wife Joanna. So you know, I don't want to be a jerk, and but I did like kind of I rolled up the jeans at one point and said to Ro, look.
Right, sneaking it. It was like sneaking
Dodger
it. And then we're sitting across from the Dodgers' wives, which was its own reality show.
Oh, my gosh. That was fun.
I want to do a reality show. Dodger nannies
is what
I want to do. Because there were a lot of nannies that were also with
yes.
There was like a section just for the nannies with the little kids, with the Dodger kids.
And
adorable children.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because a lot of the little ones had like custom-made sparkle denim jean jackets with daddy's number on the back, just in case there's ever any kind of an alimony child support custody thing. You know, they're branding them young there, you know, a little like 2 years old. And then some of the wives had T-shirts and jerseys with their own husbands.
Yeah.
Pictures on them.
And then
like,
some of the
like,
wives.
Stay off my man.
Just had fur coats
and diamonds.
They
and
did
diamonds.
Not.
Yeah, you could
did
tell.
They?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You, there was. I think two of the wives I saw had jackhammers to dig for gold.
My goodness.
Maybe some of them were with them from the time they were little.
Absolutely.
Sure. 18 or something.
Yeah, well, it happens. Like Chris Bryant, right? His high school girlfriend is his wife now. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then Rose spotted, he goes, oh, look at that one. Because it was like the parents, so somebody had a divorce, and because they were
right.
the grandparents were at the kid. Yeah.
So
look at that one, like it's a zoo. Oh, guys!
Like a zoo.
What are we talking about?
Gather around, guys! Check out this
human
one.
Don't feed the Dodger wives.
Yeah. Don't get your hands too close.
It's like a circus.
Don't get your hands too close to the cage, because they will put a ring on it. It is.
Did you watch the game at all, or were you just?
Not really. Now, there was a lot going on. Well, you know what? Listen, sports wives, hello, mm-hmm. right? Celebrity wives. I mean, you know,
they all look like they'd gone to the same sorority together 2 years ago.
Do you think Harvey Weinstein's wife was with him because he was so hot and so interesting and such a nice guy?
She said since it was a business relationship and there was
Oh, interesting.
But there was a business she had. She was a very successful designer, and he helped fund that. And she showed up at parties and made him not look so creepy.
I don't know if that really makes her look good when she says like that. It almost be better if she said, I fell in love with him.
Well,
now she's just
success
saying, you know,
is easy to fall in love with. Not so much, doesn't have to be the money, but a successful person is attractive.
Yep, keep telling yourself that.
That's what Kevin's out there doing. Success is attractive, right? I mean, how many mothers have told their daughters, you know, it's just as easy to marry a millionaire as it is to marry.
True. I think a lot of fathers tell their daughters that.
That's true, too.
Because they get the math.
Yeah,
well,
true,
but
too.
You can tell like, if somebody from the Dodgers hit a home run because, you know, 40,000 people were dead quiet and then 27. Yeah! All standing. Yeah.
Were you cheering with them, or did you kind of keep your applause for the Cubs?
I do not. Yeah, I will not. I will stand and say things like, wow, that was quite a shot by Mr. Contreras. I won't like do the huge cheering things. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I'm not rooting against them out there.
Yeah.
It's good for the city. I've got a lot of friends and family.
And the Dodgers' wives weren't going to protect him from the drunks in back of us. Because there were a couple of complete jagweed. I'm going to use the term again, jagweed drunks in back of us that were.
I was close. That was getting close to we're going to have
they were screaming at the wives. And
a lot of obscenities around kids and then some racist stuff. And I said, you know, we got to stop. I did. The one time I just said, we're stopping now.
good. Yeah.
And they stopped and they went away, but then they came back with four more beers. They left for like an hour. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, these guys are going to have to stop.
Yeah. All right. I thought they were Sox fans for a second. Okay, here is. All right, let's talk about Richard Roper reviewing. There's a lot of reviewing here. Only the Brave.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to really dig this movie. You know, we've had a lot of titles that tell us nothing about what the movie is about, including Only the Brave. But it's a great, great story, and we've had more movies based on true stories than we've had in the last few months on this show. I think every week we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. And this is the true and tragic story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots. And hotshots is the term they give to the, you know, the elite of the elite firefighting units that go out after those wildfires in Arizona and California. Mm-hmm. And you might recall it's only about 3 or 4 years ago that Yarnell, Arizona, where nearly 20 firefighters perished. Right. It was horrible.
Jumpers, right? Smoke jumpers.
Yeah.
Worst
these are the guys
loss of firefighters, that, I think, since 9/11.
Since 9/11, exactly right. The backstory of this group is remarkable. And I did not know that much about it, but it turns out that they were a municipal fire department. Usually these guys are hotshots who are recruited from all over the place, you know, with all kinds of different military experience, whatever. These were municipal firefighters in a small town, but they kept training to get this elite status, kept going for it, and finally were accorded that and then became the best of the best. So we're talking now about a lot of guys. I bet you the average age was 25 of these guys. Gee. Some are in their 30s, but most of them were, you know, kids. And basically it plays out like your classic war movie, except for they're fighting fire. So you get to meet all the recruits, you know, from different walks of life. The one guy that's talking about his wife's going to have a baby. The other guy trying to get his last chance, you know, the hothead. And Josh Brolin plays the commander. He'd be the sergeant in the military thing. So he's the superintendent, the supervisor, as they call him, Soup. And he's got his own backstory, a lot of, you know, issues he's had, all based on true characters. And we got a scene here where they've just been accorded that elite status as hotshots, and they're celebrating.
As true as I'm standing here, and as strange as this is, I'm happy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This first season as hotshots is going to be tough. We're going to be traveling all over the country. We're going to be working harder, going longer. So it's important that this Granite Mountain family pulls together and looks out for each other, because we can't do this without your support. No Soup could be prouder right now of his boys than I am of you guys. So to commemorate this occasion, I had some tees made up. All right? Now you can only wear them if you're a hotshot. Right? Okay, so it's sleeping with a hotshot too. Okay.
Yeah. Josh Brolin is really good.
Yes. He's terrific, and he's perfectly cast as this guy who's, you know, a great leader but has a lot of issues himself. And his wife is played by Jennifer Connelly, who's a great actress. And the two of them, in real life and in the movie, they're, you know, they're more like in their 40s. They've been together about 5 years because they met in a meeting. They're recovering addicts, and you know, this is the way they support each other. And it's a beautiful performance. And you don't usually get that much about the relationships. You know, the movie takes its time. And then Miles Teller, one of our best young actors, plays a young guy who, you know, he washed out as an EMT trainee. He became a meth addict. Found out his girlfriend had a baby, and now is trying to get his life together. Taylor Kitsch, who's the great looking guy from Friday Night Lights, he's the womanizing guy. It's stock characters, but it's better than that because they're all such good actors, and the writing's real good. And then the fire sequences are incredible. The melding of, you know, the practical effects with the special effects. You feel like these guys are on the mountain in these fires, man.
And so, how many stars?
3.5.
Oh, boy.
But, boy, I'll tell
you. Tough, right?
You got the last 20 minutes. Oh. And you know how they always do the thing where they show the actors and then they show the people they portrayed?
Yes. Yeah.
So many of them look just like the guys, and you see the guys.
It's always the case.
And,
man. Sounds heart-wrenching.
But right. It's True Heroes. Three
Only
and
the
stars.
Brave.
Yes.
All right, we'll get to the rest right here. Quickly, we got the Goodbye, Christopher Robin. There's a title that tells you what happens. Goodbye, Christopher Robin. See ya. Breathe. I Gotta Breathe. And then Killing Gunther. I think all those tell you exactly what's happening. We'll get to just the review, quick reviews of those. But first, Violetta, WGN Driving Trouble Spots. All right, Richard Roper reviewing. We got about 30 seconds per review here. So
we can do that, no problem.
All right, goodbye, Christopher Robin.
Goodbye, Christopher Robin. Also based on the true story, A.A. Milne, the author, who I had a young boy who was named Christopher Robin. So this is the origin story about it. I don't like it. I gave it 2 stars. It's very dark and weird because it turns out when the kid grew up, he hated that he had been turned into Christopher Robin, and he never spoke to his parents again, and he never took any of the vast hundreds of millions made by the family. So it's a strange story, and it's a dark film. A.A. Milne had PTSD from World War I. He was always close to almost hurting his son, abusing his wife, yelling at his wife. The mom was a nightmare. Strange story. We don't like it. Just read Winnie the Pooh instead. Breathe is also based on a true story. Andrew Garfield, you know him from Hacksaw Ridge, and uh-huh. he was a Spider-Man for a while. This is actually a really cool 3-star movie. He plays a real-life guy who was paralyzed from the neck down back in the 50s, and his buddy and he worked together, and they invented the first wheelchair with a breathing apparatus, and he was the first quadriplegic who was allowed to travel around the world and actually change the world for handicapped and disabled people. Huh. Until then, almost always were given a death sentence and never were able to leave hospital. So Breathe is the story of how that all changed. He became a great activist. And finally, Killing Gunther stars Arnold Schwarzenegger as a hitman named Gunther and all the other hitmen. You know what they want to do? They want to kill Gunther because then they'd have more business. Dark comedy available on Netflix. 3 stars for Killing Gunther.
All right. So there you go. And 3.5 stars for Only the Brave. That's the movie to go
see
this week.
That's the one to go see this week.
All right. We've got Judy Pilak News, 2 minutes away.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Let me tell you what people are playing for here. First of all, I want to wish him luck and welcome Chris Bowden to
yes.
News or Ruse.
Welcome, Chris.
I'm telling you, you have no idea how hard this is actually going to be.
Did you say there is skill involved here? Now I'm really worried.
Yeah, I don't know. Skill and luck and Judy Pilak's yes. involved, and she gets mad at everybody. It's
cover
bad.
Your eyes, throw a dart at the dartboard, see what sticks.
That's what goes on. All right, here's the winner's got a gift card, Dannenberger Family Vineyards, where they can experience international award-winning Cabernet Franc right here in New Berlin, Illinois.
We tried that Cabernet Franc, and it was quite delicious.
You can eat and explore the Illinois Cookbook and Travel Guide to discover Illinois and its communities, celebrations and destinations, plus favorite recipes across the state, plus a gift card to Hofbräuhaus Chicago in Rosemont. Enjoy daily specials October 29th through October 29th as part of the Oktoberfest celebration there, plus our live broadcast on Friday, October 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. It's right next it's our next stop mm-hmm. on the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour. And the runners-up get a $25 gift card to Dannenberger Family Vineyards. I just talked about them. All right.
Everybody wins.
Everybody's a big winner here. All right. Now let us meet our contestants, because this is the important part of the day. Violetta is playing with Bob. Kara is playing with Chris. And Paul is playing with Judy. Paul, you've already won this thing, so you might as well just go home right now. I don't know. That's what they say, at least.
It's generally true.
Yes, that is true.
Smack talk here.
Yes, and now, and Kara, now be very kind to Chris. This is his first time out.
Kara, I'm just gonna hop on your shoulders on this one. All right, you carry me through this, okay?
All right, I'm going to do my best.
All right, we'll get it done. We'll get it done.
Yeah,
we will.
All right, it's very exciting. The United Center, it's going to be jammed tonight. Hawks are very fun to watch. Last night, I'm not so happy about, but
no.
Let's forget about it and move on, shall
Moving
we?
On.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next.
I like what you did there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, let's say, yeah, I don't want to talk
no
about
comment.
It either. Yeah.
Nothing to see there last night.
All right. Okay, Bob and Violetta, here is your headline. We'll start with you. Creepy clown candidate brings police to college polling place.
Ooh. I don't know. What do you think, Violetta?
Ruse.
Ruse? Yeah, I say ruse, too. Yeah, I'm in, which I never heard.
Oh. Okay, from now
right,
on,
Bob.
Go opposite of anything I
New
say.
New strategy, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob. I was going to warn you off on that strategy to begin with, but yeah, whatever. All right, here we go. Kara and Chris,
here's the headline.
All right, let's go.
Legal weed may be a windfall for McDonald's and Taco Bell. Think about that.
Does seem obvious, but is it a headline?
I don't know, Kara. I think it's so obvious that it's not one. I think this is a trick one. What do you think?
Well. Considering all the fake headlines out there now, I would say I'll go with your instincts. I'll say it's too obvious. So you want to say Ruse?
Oh, Chris falling into the trap of overthinking these things.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Chris, I'm just going to say one thing to you. Do at least want to get one more right than Violetta. But that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. There's a reputation there, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, Bob. Okay. All right, okay, here we go. Paul and Judy, here's your headline. Florida teacher never thought kids would find her drugs, police say.
It's always Florida.
I think that sounds legit. I think
yeah,
that sounds
I think
like
you
news.
Might be right. Let's say news. Oh, everybody.
Everybody's out right there.
Zero, zero, zero. Wow. That's never happened.
I guess it's
I
not just Violetta.
Right. No, it isn't. And Violetta's got a chance now to steal. She's got a steal
she
opportunity
does.
Here.
Let's
All
go,
right,
Bob.
Here we go.
Hey. Here is the headline, guys. Is an enzyme in the appendix of the world's shortest man the key to curing claustrophobia?
What do you think, Violetta? I'll go the opposite.
I don't know. It just sounds so dumb.
Yeah, it does sound dumb. I'm going with you. I'm going all the way.
Let's say ruse. I mean news, though. I don't know.
Okay, news.
Oh, you had the perfect strategy, Bob.
You did have the perfect strategy, and then you and then she threw you for the roundhouse right there. So I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go with ruse. And she was right, and then, no, news. But then you should have gone with her not, then go opposite of what she said.
I know.
But it was
Come on,
too late.
Bob. You're not listening to me.
I don't know. Oh, nobody's listening to you. All right, here we go. Kara and Chris, here is your headline. Sean Spicer claims to be one of the most popular guys in Ireland.
Oh, that sounds true. That's something he'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with it.
All right. Yeah. Well done, Kara.
Yes, on the board.
Off the board.
Somebody's on the board
Somebody's
here.
Somebody's got a point. Okay, Paul and Judy, you guys ready for the headline? Woman's ashes stolen from Ottawa garage sale.
Oh, God.
Is that Ottawa? Stolen? Woman's ashes stolen.
I would think they would have been sold, possibly, by accident. Stolen, possibly. I guess it could have been a really nice urn or something. Maybe I'll go with news on that. What do you think, Judy?
I think it's a ruse, but I'm not sure.
All right, I need an answer here. News or ruse?
All right, let's go with you, Judy. Ruse.
Oh! Jeez.
I just want to say I was nowhere near Ottawa when that happened.
Senator Ted Cruz, thank you very
much.
Probably
an X or something like
he
that.
Was, at the time, he was tweeting his Zodiac Killer comments, so he was unavailable.
That's right. I saw that on the internet, and I liked it.
All right, thank you.
All right,
well, Kara and Chris. Chris, see what you did there? You got one right. Pretty good.
Apparently, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're is just a two rounder?
No. We come back for the third round.
Not so fast, Chris.
Yeah, not so fast. Right. Exactly. Right. But you do have a commanding lead right now because this is actually one of the tougher ones we've ever played. All right. Coming right back to News or Ruse. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
So there's this also we want to tell you about. Tonight it's Kaner versus the Kid as the reigning NHL MVP and the Oilers invade the UC. Blackhawks Oilers tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
Yep, that's going to be fun tonight. Mm-hmm. Yours truly will be there. Although we'll be watching the Cubs game in the concourse most of the night.
It's going to be hard.
Got the whole thing worked out. I'm going to the game with one of the great Cubs haters of all times. Sox fan. I mean, and you know, Chris Bowden knows this. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people out there that are there are haters. Not just like, oh, I don't like the Cubs, I like the Sox, or, you know, vice versa. But people who actually hate the other team.
Yeah.
That's not right.
And I personally know some family members who do the same thing and change their Twitter pictures to, like, right now it's an L.A. Dodgers Twitter picture. You know, so
this is a guy.
That's the way they roll.
I'm going tonight with a guy who is like, he hates the Cubs. And I think he's probably going to wear a Dodgers hat to the Hawks game.
Oh, come on.
Boy, that's sour.
Yeah.
I know. Right. I know. It's like, come on. Don't be. They all have sitting next to me doing that. It's his ticket, so I got to go. All right, here we go. We're back. It's round three of News or Ruse. Now, Kara, playing with Chris Bowden, mm-hmm. the newest family member to the Blackhawks and WGN. You hear him in the pregame show and the post and the whole thing. He's got the man never stops working. And he has one right. Bob and Violetta have none right. And surprisingly, Paul and Judy, they don't have one right either.
Isn't this remarkable?
So you guys could just sit here and wait to see if anybody gets one right here in the third and final Orion Samuelson round, where Orion reads the headlines for us. Bob and Violetta. Violetta, you ready?
Yeah.
Here is Bob.
Wow. Yeah, I'll help. You can need me to help, too. You got sort of the same attitude I do.
All right, Bob and Violetta, here is your headline.
Toronto man stuck in big mountain bounce house may have been under the influence according to police.
I feel like that's a likely story.
Yeah, but then we're going to be wrong if it's likely.
I hear you, but this is like overthinking.
I don't know. I'm going to go with you. I'm going all the way.
No.
One more time with you.
No, wait. You call it. I don't know.
News or Rose? I need an answer.
News.
Oh, God. The strategy, Bob. We talked about this. We talked about it. I'm sorry. I'm so convincing.
Oh, man.
Suddenly, I feel like a White Sox fan rooting against the Cubs here.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you play this game enough, Chris, with Violetta. And you know, because Violetta's sneaky, because
yes,
she's won a great number of times. But right now, she's, you know what? She's like the Cubs bats right now. She's overthinking and she's a little tight. That's what's going on.
Mentally exhausted.
Mentally exhausted. That's what you are. Mm-hmm. It was that,
like Chris Bryant.
It was that Washington thing that was really, you know, it's what got her, the Washington trip. All right, here we go. Paul and Judy, got to get this right. Otherwise, Karen and Chris just win this going away. Nobody has to worry about anything. All right? Here you go. Ready?
Okay.
Here's your headline, Paul and Judy.
Asia's Harry Potter obsession poses a threat to owls.
Well, Paul, I was wrong on the last one, so you've got to have the definitive answer here.
You know, it sounds like it could be true.
That's what I think, too. But I'm not saying it. You say
it. All right, I need news or Rose.
Oh, hold on.
News.
Yeah!
Well done. Okay.
You forced them to have to answer one. Here you go, Kara and Chris. Here's your headline.
This is yours, Kara. We won with you last time.
Oh,
Sydney
God.
Woman
okay.
loses $151,000 over a grape.
Sydney woman loses $151,000 over a grape.
Even Orion was chuckling at that one.
I heard that.
Yeah, you can't. Sometimes Orion can't get through these.
What are you thinking, Kara?
Well, I'm thinking there's some detail in the 151,000. I don't know.
Yeah.
So let's go news.
Go for it.
Wow.
Yes.
Good job, guys.
Right, yes. She slipped on a grape in a Woolworth supermarket. Who knew there were still such things?
Yeah.
But she lost her case
on appeal.
Yeah.
Australia still has them.
Yep.
The Woolworths are
nice.
Still there.
Wow,
Kara,
Chris, that was very good. That's it. I mean, I know that you were. This was very much like a Mike Glennon, you know, win where you were, you know, back there and just kind of. I'll hand off the ball. Don't make me throw it.
I started with the first guess, and it was interception fumble. So we handed it over to Kara. Here comes Mitch Mania.
Right.
So, Kara, nice job.
Kara, you're the Mitchell Trubisky of this whole thing. Congratulations. There you go.
You were my caner. You set me up well.
Oh, I love
that. What a good reference.
Oh, now there's a Hawk. I love a Hawks fan. I like when that's the way to go. All right,
let's
and by the way,
some of that tonight here.
Congratulations, because you've got
you.
The gift certificate to Dannenberger Family Vineyards down in New Berlin, Illinois, and you can eat and explore. You also get the Eat and Explore Illinois Cookbook and Travel Guide, which is also very, very cool. Plus, a gift card to the Hofbräu Haus in Chicago, which is actually in Rosemont. So don't worry about that. I know it's a little confusing. And we're going to be doing the live show there. Please come out next Friday from 3 to 7 for
the blast.
Allstate Hometown Voices Tour. How about that?
We're going to have a lot of fun.
All right.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for playing.
Enjoy, Kara.
All right. Chris, call a good pregame tonight. The Hawks. Corey Crawford not in goal tonight, right?
Yeah, they're gonna start Anton Forsberg for the second time. And boy, he had to face a fast young team in Toronto last time out a couple weeks ago, or about a week ago, in his first Blackhawks start. He held up well. They ended up losing in overtime, but he's gonna face a fast young team in Edmonton here tonight. That's kind of off to a slow start. So we'll see what happens here.
Yeah.
All right.
No, we need a big win. We need a big win tonight because the Hawks have really looked like they're on top of their game right here. And then it's always bad in St. Louis. It is just always bad in St. Louis. There's nothing good about St. Louis.
Yeah, and they just didn't look like themselves for whatever reason against a division rival. That was the unusual part and the painful part. Joel even said today he was kind of scratching his head at the outcome yesterday and the way they started as well, which kind of set the tone. So we'll expect a little faster one here tonight.
All right. Maybe it was the final series in Washington. Wait, no, that's the Cubs.
That's the Cubs. That's
totally
only they can count that for being tired.
All right. Thank you, Chris Bowden. Appreciate it.
All right.
We've got... All right, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Turns out Melania does not have a body double. Damn it.
That's confirmed. I didn't really believe that story.
I was so looking forward
to
that.
Had a lot of legs.
Yes, two of them. And I wanted to believe it because I wanted to meet her and find out who she is and what is she all about and, you know, sort of behind the scenes.
Well, they took the grainiest of grainy pictures and, you know, pictures where she just was holding her mouth in a different way. And they said, well, that's not her. This is a body double.
Well, the guy who started this whole thing is a hemp oil salesman in California.
Oh, gosh.
So, I mean, come on. But that tells you everything you need to know.
To him, he really thought it was.
Yeah. I could tell. Look at her. She's like, that is not Melania. Because she was wearing sunglasses. It was weird, though. That press conference last week, this is one of the primary pieces of prima facie evidence that Melania Trump had a body double, was that they were going to the helicopter last Friday on their way out for the weekend, and she had the sunglasses on.
Yep.
And he was like, and my wife, Melania's right here. You know, but that's what he does. He turns and he goes right here. You know, it's like he introduces people. He's a perfect talk show host. He reintroduces the subject every few minutes, so you know, in case you're just tuning in,
just
you know what's going
on. Reset the scene, right?
He's almost like a magician,
right? But he's like, he's a media personality, right? That's his thing. That's what he's best at. So he resets this. Here's Melania, because you're not sure who she is, right here.
Well, but it went so far to say people saying, wow, it makes me wonder what else is a lie about him.
Really?
Yeah. That's what makes you wonder.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much everything. I, you know, the funny, the this thing with the Renoir painting that in his it
that's a
at the Trump
story.
Tower.
Fascinating story.
The woman with her daughter, or whatever the thing is called, that's been in hanging at the Art Institute of Chicago since 1933.
But he's been saying he has the original Renoir painting in his apartment, and he's been introducing people to it for years.
Of course.
And when asked about it by someone who really knew, his own biographer, actually, Two Sisters on the Terrace is what it's called. Mm-hmm. He said, that's not the original, because I'm from Chicago. I grew up there, and I've been in the Art Institute. They've got that painting
right.
There.
It's right. It's like, you know, Sunday in the Park with George, right? It's like the same thing. It's like, we're famous for having a few important items here. More than just a few. That's one of them.
And he said, no, they have the fake.
Yeah. No, there's this fake. Well, then you bought a fake. You bought a fake or a stolen one. Which one would you, what do you prefer?
Knew. You kind of knew you wanted to pass it off as the original. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But the Art Institute has confirmed and reconfirmed in the art world. They have the original and they don't know about this one that he's got.
Right. Maybe Renoir did two. He did two. They could do that, you know, one and two. Same time.
The exact same painting, though?
Yes.
Like, really? I don't think so. But that's what he says. He says it's the original.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder what else is fake about Donald Trump. Really? Really? Let's think about that. Oh, he would never lie about anything. He would never make anything up. He would never exaggerate. He's president of the United States. Can't do that.
But it just speaks to how weird, strange, totally, completely made up news develops, like becomes viral, and people then start believing it.
That's true. And that's the thing, is that you can't tell the difference between the real and the fake. And I get that people are having trouble with that. I understand that. We get caught in things. Luckily, this show hasn't yet been caught in any of those, but it's going to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. There's going to be something that's going to go, it's going to get past us.
Yeah.
But we'll make the correction. I mean, that's the difference between us and the White House, is we'll actually correct it when it's
sure.
When it needs to be corrected.
Find out that it's wrong, you say it.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, but it's weird.
But yesterday, Melania was a trending topic, and like everywhere on social media, and you were like, why is that? And there you go, all these pictures, the side-by-side pictures of who the real Melania and the fake one.
Well, that's why places like the Huffington Post are just searching for clicks. You can't. Whether it's Drudge or, I mean, well, Drudge just links to other stories generally. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're looking at things that there are certain media outlets that are on the edge of credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if you're Huffington Post, you should be very careful about wanting to be credible in a moment like this.
Yeah.
And not perpetuating that. But, you know, jump out in front and explain. You can explain that there's some stoner in California who thinks that there's a Melania body double. But that's really not much of a story, right?
No.
But It's funnier when you do, but they want to make it into something. And really, in a week where there's other stuff to that's real that you can kind of hook on to.
Yeah.
Although, as I said earlier, I think CNN has overplayed the General Trump Kelly. Phone call to the grieving family. And that's because the General Kelly came out and explained it today. And I think he put a human empathetic face on what has happened here. And I think that the president probably, again, not exactly the most graceful of individuals when it comes to issues of sympathy and empathy. No. So when he probably did say those words, but he meant it in a very different context, which is, you know, but they know what they're, you know, they know what they're getting into, but that's so, you know, when, you know, they died doing what exactly it was that they wanted to do, which is what General Kelly was told
to tell him
by another general.
Mm-hmm. When his own son died.
When his own son perished and, you know, was killed in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Another, and also in a Marine in 2010, lost his life. But General Kelly hit the reset button, I think, as you pointed out earlier, Ro, because he led us through what matters and the sacrifice that these people have made. They right. volunteered to be part of our armed forces, but then they paid the ultimate price and appreciating that. And it was really, it was eye-opening, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching to hear a father who has lost his son, a Marine himself, who talked about leading men into battle, telling them to do something, and then seeing that some of them died within their duty, and carrying out their duties, I should say. And he talked about with a very stern way, and then at times emotional, but very powerful, about how what happens when a soldier dies, when one of our troops dies overseas. And he talked about everything from how they ice the body to bringing that person home to the point where you knock on the door and what you say to the family.
Right.
And it was really eye-opening just to hear it from that man who understands it better than anybody.
Yes. It's
powerful.
Awful. This is where we need to stop this. I don't care who started it. You know, whether the president started it or the other media outlets started the politicization of this. I mean, the president did, you know, was the first one to go, no, it was Obama. You know, that kind of makes it political. But it's got to stop here. It has just got to stop here. We cannot politicize this moment of personal and public grief over lost troops.
No.
Can't do it. Just can't do it.
No.
So I would urge CNN to change their tack on this. I would certainly urge the White House, as I do every day, to change their tack on everything they do, but that in terms of the way that they sell the stories that they sell.
Yeah, I think the press office. The point that a lot of people are hanging on to that they don't like about what General Kelly said today was when he said he criticized the congresswoman for being on the phone or on the speakerphone when with the family when it happened. He says that's sacred. That should be for the family. And I guess some people say, well, I guess they could have whoever they want there. But the president made it political when he started comparing his record to Obama's. And then she made it political when she came out front and started representing this family and saying how horrible it was the way the president handled it.
Right, which may have not been as horrible as she represented.
The family today was on CNN this morning, and they made it sound as if we're not going to be speaking out or criticizing anybody.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be used like this. They should not be used like this.
They really did take a higher ground when they were interviewed, just saying we want this to be about his life and put a spotlight on who he was and how important he was to us, to his country, and that's what should be the focus here. And they're kind of right.
Yeah. And you see the pictures of these four young men.
Ah.
And, you know, your mind reels back to how they must have gotten to where they were. Mm-hmm. You know, they chose, as General Kelly said today, you know, these are guys who volunteered. That's what they do. And you think about that whole process, and they understand the risks, but then they figure they're going to be with their guys and they're going to be safe. That's the only way that you can go into that situation. Mm-hmm. And then you're safe until you're not, and they weren't. And they lost their lives. And one hopes and prays that the United States, you know, will avenge that loss in that region. That's a very complicated part of the world right now, West Africa. Mm-hmm. And we've been there for a while. It's sort of the unspoken war, what goes on there. We don't talk about it, but we're there. We have a lot of special forces in the region. And we're lucky that the in some respects that this hasn't been a deadlier spot for America yet. And we'll just have to see. But I cannot abide by us further. We in our side of the business furthering this story, because it's if the president were inartful in his approach to this, so be it. That's not the issue. To make the lives of and to trot out other, as I saw earlier today on CNN, trotted out another Gold Star family, a mom in Oregon who had lost her son. It's like, and putting words in her mouth in the interview. Mm-hmm. Brianna Keeler, who I like a lot, I think she's very good at what she does, but she was putting words in this woman's mouth. Well, don't you think this is blah, 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 blah. And it's right. Like, don't do that. It's so, I know that right now it almost feels like it's a gutter game. Everybody's getting down and, slinging the mud as much as they can. Mm-hmm. And there have been, years and years and years of this going on. I mean, if you watch a lot of Fox News coverage over the years of Barack Obama, there were a lot of people that would come on, and the way that they angled some of those stories were, just taking the cheapest of shots. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see CNN do that, where you're just telling the story is good enough. You don't need to go dig for the cheapest of shots. And I just think it's beneath the dignity of our jobs and our role in telling the truth, whether it's opinion or it's news, telling the truth as we see it and using real facts to tell the story. It's there are a lot of things beneath the dignity of the office of the presidency, that have been uttered by the president, but we shouldn't follow suit in that.
No.
And that's the only way to create any kind of credibility. And in a world in which figuring out what's real and what's not in the news world, because you look at your phone, you go, oh, my God, look at this headline. Yeah. Right. Is that true? We need to the president needs to be more responsible to the truth. I don't know that he ever will. He's a 71-year-old man who's lived his whole life this way. And I doubt he's going to change. But as an industry, we need to be responsible.
No question. No question. And I mean, think details about the attack, what happened in Niger, there are very few right now. And Mattis gave a press conference late this afternoon and just said, this is all we know. We really are telling you what we know, and we'll tell you more when we have more. And now you have a situation where members of Congress, McCain in particular, is asking for, he said he'll set up subpoenas if we don't get to learn more soon about what's happening there.
Well, some people are trying to make this into Benghazi, a Benghazi-esque situation for the president. It's like, okay. See, let's not. I mean, I can tell you right now, I know firsthand that Benghazi was politicized and why it was politicized. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I was in a room in which that was being discussed, and I can tell you that it is that I was never I always thought that was disgusting because we lost some very very brave Americans in that situation, and it wasn't the story that now lives as truth in some people's minds is not accurate, that this was all about, trying to protect. Yes, they made a mistake by coming out and saying that the reason for this was because of this tape and the kind of blaming the insurgency in Benghazi as part of, it's kind of our fault because we had this guy running around screaming about, Islam and all that. And that's not what it was about.
No, that was a distraction. And I think that's one of the things that,
and that was a mistake,
burn people the most.
Right. And that was a mistake by the Obama administration. No question about it. But this idea that they were leaving the guy unprotected is not correct. And the politicization of that was wrong. The politicization of this and what happened in Niger is going to be wrong when they try it. And it's just there's enough to cover without making stories up and just getting people primed for 2018. Mm-hmm. Just tell the truth and people will make their decisions about 2018.
Yep.
All right.
Well put.
I gotta go.
You got a game to go.
I gotta go to the Hawks game.
Chill out.
I gotta watch. I gotta go to the Hawks game so I can watch the Cubs game on a television.
I'm right there with you.
I know. It's like crazy, right? That's what's gotta happen. All right. But here's first Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.